إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, brothers and sisters, this is our 8th session dealing with the topic of al-iman, or faith in al-qadr, khayrihi wa sharrihi, the belief in the divine pre-decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the good and the evil of it. And tonight, we'd like to take the question number 147, and inshallah, hopefully, question number 148 also, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. But before we do that, I want to quickly look at the evidences that were mentioned in the previous hadith, on the previous discussion, from our session number 7, questions number 145 and 146. And question number 145 was, ما دليل التقدير العمري الذي عند أول تخليق النطفة؟ يعني what is the evidence for the تقدير العمري؟ يعني the divine pre-decree which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered to be written concerning the life of the individual at the time of the formation of the nutfa in the womb of the mother. And the Shaykh mentioned one ayah from the Quran, and he mentioned one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning this. Has anybody memorized the ayah from the Quran that the Shaykh mentioned? Naam. طيب, we'll come to the hadith. Let's start with the Quran. Anybody memorize the ayah from the Quran? Naam. Surah An-Najm. Ayah 32. What number is Surah An-Najm, in case we don't know? 53? Naam. 53:32. Naam. Alhamdulillah. Okay, the shahid from this ayah that the brother has just recited to us, the point of reference here in this ayah is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هو أعلم بكم إذ أنشأكم من الأرض, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who knows best. He is the all-knower. He knew you and everything about you at the time when He brought you from the earth, meaning when He created Adam alayhi salam from the earth. And the second part of the ayah now, طيب. And the second part of the ayah, وَإِذْ أَنْتُمْ أَجِنَّةٌ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ, and when you were fetuses in the stomachs or in the bellies of your mothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew fully everything about you, everything that would happen to you, including your lifespan, your deeds, your provisions, and your final destination. And after this, the Shaykh mentioned the hadith, which is a very lengthy hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reported in the Sahihain. Naam. Fadl, ya Abdullah. Thank you.
لا إله غيره.
MashaAllah, JazakAllah khair. The brother, MashaAllah, he has memorized the hadith, the whole of the hadith. And it's a lengthy hadith, a very important hadith, a foundation hadith in this topic here. And alhamdulillah, he's memorized the hadith. And this is indeed yani, something that is commendable, that we memorize the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I say this because yani, people today, not a long time ago, people today are able to memorize the words of songs and lines of poetry and I don't know whatever else you call that stuff that these people are espousing today. They are able to memorize that. And that is real yani rubbish. Rubbish. Naam. Garbage. Falsehood. Things that have no basis and no benefit. So why can't the Muslims memorize something from the Book of Allah? Fadl. Huh? Why can't we memorize something from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So this hadith, in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that every one of you will be gathered together, yani his creation, in the womb of his mother for 40 days, and then for a like as a nutfa, and then for a like period as a alaqa, a block. Clot of blood, and then for a like period as a mudgha, and a lump of flesh. And this hadith, the significance of it is in this, the what follows after those words. And then the angel will be sent to him, who will breathe into him the ruh, yani the spirit of life. And he will be commanded with four matters. To write what? Four matters. To write what? Naam. His lifespan. Before that, his provisions. And then his lifespan, and then, huh? His deeds, and then, whether he will be, now, fortunate or unfortunate, happy or unhappy, yani of the people of paradise, or the people of the hellfire, the people of paradise, now. And this is really the point here, because this hadith is a proof of what? What is it a proof of? Why he narrates this hadith? For what? A proof of what? Now, huh? Oh yes, a taqdeer, al-umri, that will take place when? The nutfa, in the womb of the mother. This hadith he is using as a proof for this. This hadith has many points in it that yani, we can benefit from. But the point here, the shahid, the point that the shaykh, the author, rahimahullah, has mentioned it for, is for this point. For this point. That these things will be written, they will be recorded at that time. Everything that's going to happen in this person's life. First and foremost, and he mentioned, and Allah knows best why, and there's no doubt that the Prophet ﷺ, he doesn't just speak haphazardly, recklessly, but his words are yani chosen carefully. And he said that he would be writing his provisions, and Allah knows best, but perhaps this is the most important thing that we are concerned about, our provisions. Now, is it the most important thing? No. But it's what people are concerned about. That's why we are lost. We are distracted and turned away. And we are caused to forget because we are in the world seeking the dunya. And this will be written. And it's already recorded. And nobody will get any more, any less than what has been written. So this is already fixed. So why is a person worshipping the things of this world seeking the dunya when it's already, his provisions are already written? From the first thing that the angel writes is the provisions. And then his lifespan. And this is the second thing. But we are only concerned about our lifespan at the time when death comes. Then we want to live longer. And then after that, his actions, his deeds. And this is really the most important thing. The actions and deeds. Because it's not how long you will live, nor what provisions you will achieve in this world, but it's the deeds that you do for the sake of Allah in accordance with the Sunnah that will determine the last matter. And that is whether you will be of those who are fortunate to be in the paradise or unfortunate to be in the hellfire. This is a tremendous hadith, and we want to mention that this hadith has came with another narration in which the Prophet ﷺ said that a person would do the deeds of the people of paradise, yani that one of you would do the deeds of the people of paradise, فِيمَا يَبْدُو لِلنَّاسِ, in that which appears to the people. Yani he would be doing the deeds of the people of paradise according to what the people see, but Allah knows yani the reality of it. And for that reason, when there's nothing between him, مَا كَانَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ يعني the paradise, when there's nothing between him and the paradise, except ذِرَعَ, then that which is written يعني will overcome him. فَيَسْبِقُ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابِ, that which has been recorded in the pre-decree, and then he will begin to do the deeds of the people of hellfire, and he will enter the hellfire. So this is a very important hadith, and we will go on to the next question يعني that we covered after that. Question number 146, what is the evidence for التقدير الحولي, يعني ما دليل التقدير الحولي في ليلة القدر, يعني what is the evidence for the تقدير الحولي, the divine pre-decree which is written from the لوح المحفوظ, the preserved tablet, yearly, يعني what will happen in that whole year, and it is written يعني it comes down on ليلة القدر, the night of قدر. And the Shaykh, he mentions here one ayah from the Quran, and he mentions the saying of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. So, as far as the ayah from the Quran, what is the ayah from the Quran? If anybody knows, where is it at? Which surah? Which ayah? Naam. Surah Dukhan, naam. Ayah 4. Naam. And after that, Amran min indina, naam. Naam. What is the meaning of this ayah? Somebody else. The brother has given us the ayah. What's the meaning of this ayah? Fiha yufraqu kullu amrin hakeem. Amran min indina. What does this mean? What is the meaning of it? Help us. Yeah. Fiha yufraqu means fiha yufsalu. Yani in that night, Laylatul Qadr, that which is going to happen in that year will be separated from Allah al-Mahfuz. Kullu amrin hakeem. Yani everything that's going to happen for the human beings in that year. Naam. And this is by the command of Allah and the permission of Allah and by the pre-decree of Allah and based upon the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Ibn Kathir mentions in the tafsir of this ayah. Naam. And from this, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he made a statement concerning this. What was the statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas? Naam. حتى الحجاج يحج فلان ويحج فلان. جزاك الله خير. نعم. What is the meaning of this statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas? What is he saying concerning this ayah? What is he saying? نعم. Help us, Salih. In Laylatul Qadr. نعم. From the Umul Kitab, Allah Mahfuz, naam. And in it will mention everything that's going to happen that year will be written, naam. Concerning death and life, provisions, rain, and even the people who are going to make Hajj. It will be said that so and so by name is going to make Hajj, and so and so is going to make Hajj. And this was the explanation of Abdullah ibn Abbas. And this was also the same explanation that was given by other scholars from amongst the Tabi'een, such as Al-Hasan al-Basri, Muqatal, Sa'id ibn Jubair, and others, and Abu Abdurrahman al-Salami, and others besides them. So this explanation is an explanation that wasn't exclusive to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, but many of the scholars from amongst the people of Sunnah, from the first early generation of the Muslims, from amongst the Tabi'een, and those who came after them also explained it in this same way. In any case, what we talked about last week is dealing with two matters, the taqdeer, right? Al-umri, that takes place at the time when the seed is in the womb of the mother, and we talked about also a taqdeer Al-Hawli, yani the taqdeer, the pre-decree that will be written concerning what will happen in the whole year. And with those two matters, there remains one type of taqdeer remaining that we want to talk about today, and that is what? Al-taqdeer al-yawmi. Naam. All of these types of taqdeer, they are related to what aspect of al-iman bil-qadr? Which aspect? We said that the iman al-qadr, the scholars of sunnah say, have four aspects. Naam. The first of them is what? Knowledge, al-ilm. And the second of them is al-kitab, the writing. And the third of them is al-mashia, the will of Allah that is over everything. And the last of them is al-khalq, the creation. So which aspect are these matters related to? Al-kitab. All these are different types of writing of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has pre-decreed. Naam. So today we want to finish with this point, and then we want to, probably in the next session, go on to the third level or the third degree of al-Imam bi-Qadr, and that is al-Mashia. And this is also very, very important. But today, inshallah, we want to finish up with the second level, and we have question number 147. Ma dalil al-taqdeer al-yawmi? What is the evidence? What is the dalil for al-taqdeer al-yawmi? And the daily taqdeer, daily, the divine pre-decree which is executed by Allah every day from what has been pre-decreed. The Shaykh, he says, well, he mentions one ayah from the Quran concerning this, and there's a lengthy discussion concerning this ayah, and then he also mentions a statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, which he refers to the Mustadrak of Al-Hakim, Sahih Al-Hakim, Al-Mustadrak. And we want to concentrate mainly on the ayah and the tafsir and the explanation of this ayah, and some discussion also about the statement of Abdul ibn Abbas. But because that statement of Abdul ibn Abbas has some question concerning its authenticity, we will mainly focus upon the ayah as a proof for al-taqdeer al-yawmi. So the Shaykh, he mentions from Surah Al-Rahman, the 55th Surah, 29th Ayat, قال تعالى كل يوم هو في شأن. كل يوم هو في شأن. And the beginning of this Ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يسأله من في السماوات والأرض كل يوم هو في شأن. That they, meaning the creatures, the created beings of Allah in the heavens and the earth, they ask Him, those who are in the heavens and those who are in the earth are asking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whatever it is that they want or need. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning Himself, كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ, every day He is occupied, involved with some affairs, every single day. And Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, has a lengthy tafsir concerning this ayah, and we're going to mention some of it, and we're going to skip some of it, and try to get some benefit, from what we mentioned. And then we're also going to look at, inshallah, the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, as he brings a great number of points of benefit concerning this ayah. And Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, he says that those who are in the heavens and those who are on the earth are asking Him, requesting from Him, and every day He is engaged in an affair or affairs. He said, وَهَذَا إِخْبَارٌ عَنْ غِنَاهُ عَمَّا سِوَاهُ. That this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us here about His being free of need of everything besides Him. Allah is without need of anyone or anything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here that He is free of need of everyone and everything besides Him. وَافْتِقَارِ الْخَلَائِقِ إِلَيْهِ فِي جَمِيعِ الْآنَاتِ. And at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that while He is free of need of anyone or anything, that everything in the creation is in need of Him at every moment. فِي جَمِيعِ الْآنَاتِ. At every moment, all the time, constantly and continuously, never without need of Him. And this is a powerful statement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely free of need of anything or anyone, while everything in the creation is constantly, continuously at every moment in need of Him. وَأَنَّهُمْ يَسْأَلُونَهُ بِلِسَانِ حَالِهِمْ وَقَالِهِمْ. And that the creatures, the created beings, human and otherwise, they are asking Him, yani due to their needs, بِلِسَانِ حَالِهِمْ وَقَالِهِمْ. Yani that they are asking Him not only by their speech, but their condition. Their condition is such that their condition is asking. Yani is an expression of their need. The condition of the created beings is an expression itself of their need. For example, have you ever seen a person that when you saw them, you just looked at them and you said, this person is in need? I mean, you must have seen this. Naam. There's no doubt about it. When you saw them, you said, this person is in need. Naam. So the condition of every created being in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like that. Their condition is saying, is speaking, is a tongue. Bilisani halihim. Is like a tongue saying, we are in need. Every created being, human and jinn and otherwise. And then by their tongue also, many of the people are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by their tongue, asking for their needs. وَأَنَّهُ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that every day He is engaged in affairs. Concerning this ayat, Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir mentioned a lot of statements, and we will mention some of them. He says that Al-Amash mentions from Mujahid, from Ubayd ibn Umayr, that the meaning of this statement, كُلِّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ, it means that مِنْ شَأْنِهِ, from the affairs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is engaged in, and يُجِيبَ دَعِيًا, that He is answering, responding to one who is calling on Him. وَيُعْطِيَ سَائِلًا, and He is giving to the one who is requesting something. وَيَفُقَّ عَانِيًا, and He is releasing a captive. أَوْ يَشْفِيَ سَقِيمًا, or He is healing, curing a sick person. يعني مِنْ شَأْنِهِ, from the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is كُلُّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ, every day engaged in, these are the things that He engaged in. Answering the one who calls upon Him, giving to the one who asks Him, releasing a captive, and healing a sick person. Then he mentions the saying of Ibn Abi Najih from Mujahid, rahimahullah, who said, every day, كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ, يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُجِيبُ دَعِيًا, He is answering one who calls on Him. وَيَكْشِفُ قَرْبًا, and He is removing some distress or difficulty or hardship that a person is in. Yani you're in difficulty, you're under some kind of stress, having some hardship, Allah is the one who to call on. He is removing this. He is the one who removes distress, difficulty and hardship. وَيُجِيبُ مُطَرَّ, the one who is in severe difficulty, He is also answering that one who is calling on Him in severe difficulty. وَيَغْفِرُ ذَنْبًا, and He is forgiving sins. Naam. And every human being is committing sins. And Allah is the one who forgives sins. So ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he mentions the saying of Qatada, rahimahullah, he said, لَا يَسْتَغْنِي عَنْهُ أَهْلُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, that no one is free of need of Him, not those creatures who are in the heavens, أَهْلُ السَّمَوَاتِ, yani the angels, nor those who are in the earth. No one is free of need, without need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُحْيِ حَيًّا, He is given life. وَيُمِيتُ مَيِّتًا, and He is causing death. وَيُرَبِّي صَغِيرًا, and He is nurturing a small one, a child. He is nurturing a child that is in need of someone to care for them. وَيُفُقُّ أَسِيرًا, and He is releasing a captive. وَهُوَ مُنْتَهَى هَاجَاتِ الصَّالِحِينَ وَصَرِيخُهُمْ وَمُنْتَهَى شَكْوَاهُمْ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that the needs of the righteous and their screams, their calls for help, their cries for help, He is the one that it goes to in the end. Yani, it doesn't really, there's no help anyplace else. Whatever your needs are, it is fulfilled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and He is the one to whom yani complaints end up with. He is the one who is able to respond. Then he mentions the saying of Ibn Abi Hatim, rahimahullah, the great scholar of hadith, with the chain of isnad that he mentions, and he said that he said, yani the narrator that he narrates from, he said, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ. فيعتق رقابا ويعتي رغابا ويقحم إقابا. That indeed your Rabb, He is engaged every day. He is freeing a slave. And He is giving the one who desires what they desire. And He is forcefully punishing. Naam. And even if someone wants to resist, they will be punished if Allah intends to punish them. Then Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir mentions some narrations concerning this hadith, concerning this ayah, كُلِّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ. And I don't want to discuss them in detail, but just the meaning, as in the narration that came from Ibn Jarir. He first mentions a narration from Al-Imam al-Tabari, Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, rahimahullah. And he mentions the chain, and in the chain there is a narrator, Amr ibn Bakr as-Saksaki. And some of them said that, yani, they mentioned his name a little bit different, but in any case, yani, this narrator, it is said about him that he is matruk. Matruk. Yani, matruk means someone who has been left, abandoned. It means that, yani, it's a very severe criticism. Person whose hadith is rejected, if you say matruk. So, yani, in any case, he mentions this narration first. And he mentions that the meaning of this, the isnad goes back to the Prophet ﷺ, that he recited this ayah, and then they asked him, what is this? What is the meaning of sha'n here? What is the meaning? Allah is kulli yawmin huwa fi sha'n. And the Prophet ﷺ said, according to the narration, and this narration is weak, very, very weak, but in any case he said, and there are other narrations of the same meaning, but what he said that, an yaghfira dhanban, that he forgives a sin. وَيُفَرِّجُ كَرْبًا, and he gives a person relief from some difficulty or distress. وَيَرْفَعُ قَوْمًا, and he raises up a people. وَيَضَعَ آخَرِينَ, and he brings another people down. And again, we said that this narration is very, very weak. However, the same meaning came, as Ibn Kathir mentions, another narration from Ibn Abi Hatim. And that narration, and Allah knows best, is Hasan. Is Hasan. And the chain does not contain the previous narrator, who is Matruk. And this narration is narrated from, yani, the chain goes back to Abi al-Darda, radiallahu anhu, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, concerning the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كُلِّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مِن شَأْنِهِ, yani, the same meaning, that from his affair is that he forgives a sin, and that he grants relief to a person in distress or difficulty or hardship, and he raises up a people, and he lowers another people. And this narration is also, yani, Ibn Kathir narrates it from Ibn Abi Hatim, who is one of the great scholars of hadith, and it is also narrated by Ibn Majah, and it is also, and it was said by some of the scholars that this hadith is, it's Hasan. And there's some discussion about it, but in any case, inshallah, it appears to be an acceptable narration. After this, Ibn Kathir mentions that which the same meaning, but this time he mentions a narration from Ibn Asakir, rahimahullah, and Ibn Asakir mentions this report through a number of different chains of narration, going back to Abi al-Darda, radiallahu anhu, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he mentions the same meaning as the previous narration from Ibn Abi Hatim. And this narration, though, appears as though the more correct view concerning it is that it is mawquf. Yani, it is mawquf, meaning that it is correctly narrated as a statement of Abu al-Darda and not a statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in any case, yani, it appears as though it is a sahih report, but a statement of Abu al-Darda radiallahu anhu and not a statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the same meaning. So in any case, what we are saying then is that it at least has been narrated from the Prophet, marfu'an, attributed to the Prophet as a hasan hadith, and it has been narrated as with a sahih chain as a mawquf statement of Abu al-Darda. And then he mentions some other narrations, yani, which are, yani, similar meaning, but not authentic, and we will skip them. And finally, he mentions that which is narrated by Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, rahimahullah, with its chain of narration, including a narrator, Abu Hamza al-Thumali, and his name was Thabit, and al-Dhahabi said that he is wahin bimarra, yani extremely weak, extremely weak. So this narration, yani, is reported by Al-Imam At-Tabari. And this narration is the same narration, except with slight different wording, as the narration that the author, Hafiz Al-Hakami, rahimahullah, mentions under this question, yani, as a proof concerning the daily, yani, At-Taqdeer Al-Yawmi. And here, Ibn Kathir mentions this narration from Al-Imam At-Tabari, going back to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, but the chain contains a narrator that is extremely weak, and it's reported that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, "Inna Allah khalaqa lawhan mahfuzan," that Allah created a preserved or protected tablet, "min durratin bayda'a," yani, from white pearls, "daffatahu yaqutatun hamra'u," and its covers are made from red rubies. قَلَمُهُ نُور, its pen is light. وَكِتَابُهُ نُور, and its writing is light. أَرْضُهُ مَا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and its width is as the width of the heavens and the earth. And this part of the statement is not in the narration that the author mentions in the book from Hakim, but Al-Imam al-Tabari narrated like this, that its width is as the width of the heavens and the earth. يَنْظُرُ فِيهِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ 360 نَظْرَةً, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks into the Lawh al-Mahfuz every day 360 looks. يَخْلُقُ فِي كُلِّ نَظْرَةٍ, and in every time he looks, he creates. وَيُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ, and he gives life and causes death. وَيُعِزُّ وَيُذِلُ, and he honors some and يعني lowers or degrades, humiliates others. وَيَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ, and he does whatever he wills. And this is mentioned in the tafsir of Al-Imam At-Tabari rahimahullah. And again, as I said, this is a similar, almost the exact wording that the Shaykh mentions from Abdul ibn Abbas, as reported by Al-Hakim rahimahullah. And as we said, yani, the isnad has severe weakness. But before we go to this yani narration as it came yani in the book, we want to look at yani the tafsir of this ayat, because we want to concentrate really on the tafsir of this ayat, yani, since yani the statement of Abdul ibn Abbas has some question about its authenticity. So Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah, in his tafsir of the Quran of this ayat, he says, يَسْأَلُهُ مَن فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كُلِّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ, that those who are in the heavens and the earth are asking him or requesting from him, and every day he is engaged in affairs. Meaning, هو الغني بذاته, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is free of need, who is rich, who is free of need in and of himself, عن جميع مخلوقاته, and he has no need of any of his created beings. وهو واسع الجود والقرم, and he is vast and extensive in his يعني free giving and his يعني charitableness, and he gives freely, he is very charitable. وَكُلُّ الْخَلْقِ مُفْتَقِرُونَ إِلَيْهِ, and every created being is in need of him, and all of them are asking him for their needs. Their condition, yani their condition represents an expression of their need, and they're actually saying, we are in need. And no one is without need of him, even for the blinking of an eye, nor even for less than that. And he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is engaged every day in these affairs. And then the Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, he says, yani, from the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is engaged in every day, and we should think, yani, when we yani hear these things or when we read these things, we should yani think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is fully engaged in taking care of the needs of his creatures, in answering their call, in relieving them from difficulty and hardship, all of this. And yet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, this doesn't hinder him from anything that he wills to do. In spite of all of that, هو يفعل ما يشاء, he does whatever he wills. So whoever is in need of anything, call on Allah. Naam. This is what Allah does. يغني فقيراً, he, yani, the poor person, he frees them of need, he enriches them. ويجبر كثيراً, and he heals or mends one who is broken. وَيُؤْتِ قَوْمًا, and he gives a people, وَيَمْنُوا آخَرِينَ, and he withholds from another people. وَيُمِيتُ وَيُحْيِ, he causes death and gives life. وَيَرَفَعُ وَيَخْفَضُ, and he raises up some people and lowers others. لَا يُشْغِلُهُ شَعْنٌ عَنْ شَعْنٍ, and none of these affairs, not one of them, occupies him from another one, meaning nothing that he is doing, and it prevents him from taking care of other affairs. And none of the requests that come to him that cause him to err in responding to them. And he is not bored, nor is he upset or displeased with the request of those who continuously, insistently call on him asking for their needs. And neither is he occupied, yani preoccupied, with the length, yani the expansiveness or the extensiveness of the request of those who are asking. فَسُبْحَانَ الْكَرِيمِ الْوَحَّابِ, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani he is perfect, he is free of any imperfection. Yani he is al-kareem, the one who is generous. Al-wahhab, the one who gives freely. The one who his gifts, yani spread out over the people in the earth and the creatures in the heavens. And his kindness, yani generally touches all of the created beings at every time and in every moment. Indeed, he is the Most High, the one who is not prevented from giving due to the sin of the sinner. Yani the sin of the sinner doesn't prevent him from giving. He still gives. Nor استغنار الفقراء الجاهلين به وبكرمه, nor is he prevented from giving due to the poor person who considers himself free of need of Allah. Yani the faqir who considers himself, I'm not in need of Allah. Even that person who is ignorant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ignorant of his generosity, even that person's feeling in ignorance that they are free of need doesn't prevent Allah from giving, even. Yani as for us, for you and me, if a person was in need of you and they came to you as though they don't need you, you wouldn't give them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He still gives. That doesn't stop him from giving. And all of these affairs, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us about, that he is involved in every day, هِيَ تَقَادِرُهُ وَتَدَابِرُهُ, and these are the things that Allah has pre-decreed, and the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala arranges and manages and controls. الَّتِي قَدَّرَهَا فِي الْعَزَلِ وَقَضَاهَا, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has pre-decreed, has pre-decided, yani from the beginning of time, before he created the heavens and earth, and then he caused it to happen. He executed what he pre-decreed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, yani to complete that which he decreed, and to execute that which he decreed in its times that are, yani that are dictated by his wisdom. Yani Allah will execute what he has pre-decreed in the times that are dictated by his wisdom. And these pre-decrees, هِيَ أَحْكَامُهُ الدِّينِيَّةِ, these are the religious ahkam, التي هي الأمر والنهي, yani meaning what Allah has commanded and what prohibited. This is part of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about, the ahkam الدِّينِيَّةِ الشَّرْعِيَّةِ, the things that Allah has legislated, what he has commanded and prohibited. He has pre-decreed these things and then he caused them to be executed. والقدرية التي يجريها على عباده مدة مقامهم في هذه الدار, and likewise these are the أحكام القدرية, يعني the decisions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has pre-decreed, which he causes to يعني occur to his servants at the times, يعني at their proper time, يعني throughout the time of them being in this, يعني in this world, هذه الدار, يعني in الدنيا. And these things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is engaged with, all of these pre-decrees related to his ahkam al-diniyya, shar'iyya, and his ahkam al-qadariyya, حتى إذا تمت هذه الخليقة وأفناهم الله تعالى وأراد تعالى أن ينفذ فيهم أحكام الجزاء ويريهم من عدله وفضله وكثرة إحسانه ما به يعرفونه ويوحدونه نقل المكلفين من دار الابتلاء والامتحان إلى دار الحيوان. يعني all of this, Allah is engaged in these things until the completion of the time of any created being, and they come to the end of their time, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends, at the end of the creation, intends to execute His ahkam al-jazai. Yani, He mentioned what? Al-ahkam al-shar'iyya, and He mentioned al-ahkam al-qadariyya, and now He said, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends to execute His ahkam al-jazaiyya. Yani, ahkam related to, rulings and judgments related to what? Allah's yani recompense, rewarding the people for what they have done in this world. At that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends to show them, show His creatures, His justice and His yani excellence and the greatness of His ihsan, His goodness and kindness to them. And it is through this that they will know Him and that they will declare Him to be one and worship Him alone. At this time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala transfers those who are responsible from dar al-ibtila wal-imtihan, from the place of being tried and tested, yani the hayat al-dunya, He transfers those who are responsible, who will be held accountable for their actions, from the place of test and trial, ila dar al-hayawan, ila dar al-hayawan, to the home of the real life, the real life. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in another place in the Quran, إِنَّ هَذِهِ الدَّارُ وَمَا هَذِهِ وَمَا هَذِهِ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ. Ayah slips me now, but it's an ayah related to this. أيَّ وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَحِيَّ الْحَيَوَانِ وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ, and indeed the دار الآخرة, the home and the next life, لَحِيَّ الْحَيَوَانِ, that is the real life, the دار الآخرة. And this is what the Shaykh is referring to here, that at this time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will transfer the people from the place of being tested and the place of trials to the دار الحيوان, يعني the home of the real life, that is the hereafter. وَفَرِغَ حِينَ إِذٍ لِتَنْفِيذْ هَذِهِ الْأَحْكَامِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees Himself up at that point to execute these ahkam التي جاء وقتها, يعني these ahkam whose time has come. وَهُوَ الْمُرَاد, هُوَ الْمُرَاد بِقَوْلِهِ سَنَفْرُغُ لَكُمْ أَيُّهَا الثَّقَلَانِ. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, now we will attend to you, we will free ourselves up to attend to you, O yani the two creatures, yani the human and the jinn. And this it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will free Himself up for the hisab of the people, the accountability of the people, and the rewarding of the people for their deeds which they did in the dar al-dunya, for the deeds that they did in the dar al-dunya. And after this, yani the Shaykh mentions, yani with this question he mentions the statement, he says, وَفِي صَحِيْ الْحَاكِمْ قَالَ إِبْنَ عَبَّاسِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. And the Sahih of Hakim, he's referring to the Mustadrak of Imam Hakim rahimahullah, the statement of Abdul ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, that we mentioned from al-Tabari. And this narration is slightly different, but it's almost the exact same wording, and it contains a narrator that is da'if. And a lot of the scholars, including Imam Ahmed and Ibn Ma'in and Ibn Abi Hatim and al-Nasai and others, said that this narrator, the narrator in this chain that we referred to earlier, as I was saying, that many of the scholars of the people of Sunnah, the great scholars of Hadith, and he mentioned concerning this narrator that he is a weak narrator. That he is a weak narrator. I mean, that he's not reliable, that he's not acceptable. And that is Abu Hamza Thabit, which al-Dhahabi said that he is wahin bimarra, that he is extremely weak. So in any case, yani the Shaykh, he mentions here, the author rahimahullah, this statement of Abdul ibn Abbas, as is reported in the Mustadrak of Al-Hakim, that from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created was the Lawh al-Mahfuz, which is created from, which he made or created from white pearls, and its covers are red rubies, and its pen is light, and its writing is light, And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks into it every day 360 times or 360 looks. And every time he looks, he creates and he provides, he gives life, causes death, he honors some people and humiliates other people, and he does whatever he wills. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma is reported to have said, and this is the meaning of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ. The author, he says concerning this matter, all of these types of taqdeer, كل هذه التقادير كالتفصيل من القدر السابق, that all of these types of pre-decree are like details of the previous qadr, the previous pre-decree, meaning التقدير الأزلي, the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had the pen to write at the time when 50,000 years before He created the heavens and earth, التقدير الأزلي, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the pen to write, that taqdeer al-azali, at the time when He created it, and He wrote it in the lawh al-mahfuz. So all of these other types of taqdeer, the author is saying, the taqdeers that we have mentioned, the taqdeer يعني al-umri, wa taqdeer al-hawli, wa taqdeer al-yawmi, all of these types of taqdeer go back to, يعني they are just details of the first taqdeer, that is taqdeer al-azali. And in this way, it has been explained by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma and Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with all of them, in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in their explanation of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Tujathiyah, the 45th surah and 29th ayat, 45-29, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna kunna nastansikhu ma kuntum ta'amaloon, that indeed we were recording what you all were doing. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this saying is saying that He has the angels recording that which the people are doing. And Abdul ibn Umar and Abdul ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum ajma'in, may Allah be pleased with all of them, they said that this is, yani this is how they explain this ayat also, that it's in reference to the recording of the deeds of the people, and all of it goes back to the Lawh al-Mahfuz. And all of this, the Shaykh says, كُلُّ ذَلِكَ صَادِرَ عَنْ عِلْمِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي هُوَ صِفَتُهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى, yani that all of this comes from the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is from His sifat, yani it is a sifa of Allah, His knowledge, yani He is al-alim, and one of His characteristics is knowledge, perfect knowledge of everything, of every created being. Naam. So, yani in brief, because of the time, in brief, yani Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir mentions the ayat that's mentioned in the statement of Abdul ibn Abbas. He mentions this ayat, and he says that the meaning of this ayat in Surah Tujathiyah, 45th Surah, 29th ayat, إِنَّا كُنَّا نَسْتَنْسِخُ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ, the meaning of this is that we have commanded Al-Hafaza, yani the angels that are to record and to preserve, we have ordered them to write your actions, to record your actions against you. And Abdullah ibn Abbas says, and others besides him said, this means that the angels will write the actions of the servants. And then they will ascend up to the heavens with what they have written, and they will meet the angels who are taking charge of the recording of actions, and they will compare what they have recorded from the people on earth, what they have in their hands, they will compare with that which is in the original recording. Yani that which has been brought out from the Lawh al-Mahfuz, yani every year on Laylatul Qadr. They will compare what they have recorded the people doing with that which has been taken from the Lawh al-Mahfuz every year on Laylatul Qadr, and that from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote, yani in the beginning of time. Meaning, yani what He wrote, when He ordered the pen to write 50,000 years before He created the heavens and the earth, that is before He created the created beings, فَلَا يَزِيدُ حَرْفًا وَلَا يَنْقُصُ حَرْفًا, and there will not be an increase of even one letter, nor a decrease of even one letter. Rather, what the angels record will be, of the deeds of the people, will be exactly that which Allah had written 50,000 years before he created the heavens and the earth. And this is the, and then he recited this ayat, indeed we were recording that which you were doing. And Al-Imam al-Shawkani has a lengthy discussion, I'll just mention part of it. Al-Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah says concerning this, that the general meaning of this ayat, or he says, yani al-wahidi, yani one of the scholars of tafsir, he said that أكثر المفسرين, most of the scholars of tafsir hold the opinion that هذا الاستنساخ, yani this recording, كنا نستنسخ, this recording, it comes from the لوح المحفوظ. For indeed the angels are writing from it every year. They are writing from it every year, ما يكون من عمال بني آدم, that which would take place from the actions of the human beings. And then you will find that what the human beings do is exactly just as what is written in the Lawh al-Mahfuz. Indeed, the meaning of istinsakh is to copy something, and this copying of something does not occur except that there is an original that it is copied from. So what is being recorded, what is being copied from the actions of the deeds of the human beings, is from the original that was recorded first, and that is the Lawh al-Mahfuz. And we'll have to stop here because of the time for Salat. And the next question, which is a short question, but no need to race through it. And perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His mercy and His generosity will allow us to meet again next week. And we'll go to question number 148 next week, بإذن الله تعالى. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. If there's any question concerning what we discussed tonight. If there's any question concerning what we discussed tonight. Now, brothers, just try to let me hear the questions of the brothers, please. We're just going to take a minute and then we're going to pray, inshallah. Naam. Naam. Wa inna alaykum lahafidheen. Naam. It's also applicable. Yani, that there are, yani, over us, hafidheen, the hafidha, those who record our deeds. Naam. It's applicable. Naam. This is applicable. That what they are recording is only a copy of what has already been recorded in the Lawh al-Mahfuz. At Taqdeer al-Azali, in the first recording. Naam. Salih? Why do we think that Al-Hafidh Hakami, why he mentioned the statement of Ibn Abbas over the other statements? Well, there are a number of things, okay, in brief. The first thing is that we know that the scholars of the Sunnah in the past, and even the present, but especially in the past, they used to mention narrations. We'll find in the books of Sunan, and the Sunan of Abu Dawud, and the Tirmidhi, and Ibn Majah, and Nasai, even in the Muwatta and the Musnad, we'll find a lot of narrations, yani, that are not strong, that are criticized, that might be weak or have some weakness, right? And some of them are extremely weak. We'll find a lot of narrations like that. And in brief, right, the scholars of the hadith, they used to mention these narrations with their isnad. And the people of knowledge, they can detect that which is weak and that which is strong from the isnad. So they covered themselves by mentioning the isnad. So if a person mentions the isnad to people who understand the meaning, yani how the science of isnad, then it's okay, because they will know that this narration is weak or this one is strong or whatever. Okay, so that's one point. So why did Hafiz Hakami, rahimahullah, mention this narration here of Ibn Abbas? Because all of these narrations are of the same meaning. And who better then to narrate an explanation of the Quran than from Abdul Ibn Abbas, who is the greatest scholar of Sahaba and the meaning of the Quran? So there's nobody better to mention the explanation of the Quran from than Abdul Ibn Abbas. But even if there's some weakness in the chain, and that's the final statement I want to make, that even if there's some weakness in the chain, the meaning of what he said is definitely correct. There's no doubt about it. All of the scholars of tafsir, all of them agreed on this meaning. Whoever they narrated from, all of them agreed on this meaning. So the meaning is correct. But whether or not his statement is authentically going back to him, that's questionable. And again, because a isnad has a weak link in it, doesn't mean that it's not true. Does not mean that it's not true. It means that we don't accept something and we don't confirm something as being a statement from the Prophet ﷺ in our deen, if there's some doubt or question about it because of a weak link. But it doesn't mean, because there's a weak link in a chain of a hadith, that the text of it is not true. The text may very well be true. And that's why we find sometimes the scholars say that the isnad is da'if, walakin al-ma'na sahih, but the meaning is correct. So here, even if the isnad is weak, the meaning is correct. Now. Yani, is it his ijtihad, that his explanations, or is it from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And we will say that it's from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But of course, it's possible that there can be something narrated that could be, you know, his understanding. It's possible. But of course, we know that most of what he has reported concerning the meaning of the Quran is not just ijtihad. Rather, it's what he has learned from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was given understanding. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed for him that Allah give him understanding of the Quran. So it's not just ijtihad, yani ijtihad like a person is guessing. No, it's not like that. He was the scholar. He was the scholar of the ummah and the one who understood the Quran. And so his understanding of the Quran should be given priority and preference over others. Although it doesn't mean that, yani, that every report that came with his name, that it is authentic. It doesn't mean that every report is authentic. But certainly we would imagine that the reason why the author has chosen his view and his statement is because of the position of Abdul ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu as the scholar of Quran. And Allah knows best. We're going to stop here so we can pray, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.